Well, the Bible tells on one occasion how that Jesus was talking with his disciples about forgiveness. And forgiveness is a hard thing for us to do. And the Bible says in verse 3 of Luke 17, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now, I want you to listen to the next verse. "And the apostles," underscore that, the apostles, not just ordinary followers or ordinary disciples of Jesus, but the apostles, those closest to Christ, those walking with him and sharing with him, the apostles said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." Increase our faith. Have you ever had that feeling that you wanted your faith to be increased? Is your faith tonight as strong as you want it to be? I don't believe any one of us, starting right back here where I stand, not a one of us would say, "Oh yeah, my faith is right where I want it to be. My faith is strong, and it has not ever struggled, is not ever weak, not ever in my life a time that I feel like my faith needs to be growing." You remember how the Bible gives the graces. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. You have that list of the Christian graces, but the first thing, supply or add in your faith, virtue. And that tells us that faith in all of our lives needs to be a growing thing. It needs to be a maturing thing. And the very presence of your being here tonight and worship to God is an indication that you truly want your faith to be stronger and to be growing in the Lord. The question that I want us to consider for a few moments tonight, together in this study today on faith, is how do we define what faith is? This morning we talked about the principle of living our lives by faith. The just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, Romans chapter 1, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39, the just shall live by faith. If something is repeated four times in our Bibles, it must be important. It must be a thing that we truly focus upon, because we know the necessity of faith in all of our lives. Now, there are different levels of faith, aren't there? There's what we might identify as strong faith, but then there's weak faith. There is big faith, but there's also small faith. Faith is not on the same level with all of us. I do not think that each one of us in this audience have the same level of faith. Some are younger people, and we're glad to see these teenagers here. Some are younger adults. Looking around, how many young adults do I see? A few. Some are middle-aged, several middle-aged folks. But there are several of us who are older. The gray hairs are upon our heads. And we know that even as older Christians, we know that our faith has to be growing. And I believe our faith can grow all the way down until faith becomes sight, until the end of life. And then faith that has carried us all the way to the end, what a blessing that's going to be to us. Well, when I try to understand what faith is, and Brother Jerry read. Jerry, did you do the reading or did Dick do it? You read, okay. That's my memory tonight. But Brother Jerry read out of Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That really is a wonderful description of what faith is. Now, faith is this that is in our hearts. But there's also a misunderstanding of what faith involves, what faith is. Have you ever heard someone say that faith is always contrasted with sight? We know the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And the Bible indicates that faith in things, as we'll see in just a few moments, reaches over there into the realm of the unseen, things that we cannot see with the human physical eyes. But did you know that there is an example in your Bible of someone who saw and believed at the same time? You remember how that Jesus, in his resurrected body, appears after 8 days again to his disciples, which were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast," listened to it now, "thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." So can we see and believe at the same time? Jesus said so. Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, you have seen me and you have believed." You and I have not seen the Lord, yet we believe, and we're the ones that Jesus says, blessed are those that have not seen, that have not had the evidence, Thomas, that you have. As I stand before you, as you see the nail prints in my hands, and you put your hand into my side, you see my hands, you see my side, and as you see me, you believe. So yes, I believe that we can see and also believe. But there's also the sense in which we do not see and yet believe. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But also, have you heard people say faith contains an element of doubt? Faith has not the assurance 100% of what we believe. You say, "I believe in God." And by saying that, there are those who would imply that my believing in God has an element of doubt or uncertainty. I've never talked to God. I've never seen God. I've never had any kind of direct contact with God. So while I believe in God, while I say that God does exist, there is this element of doubt or uncertainty, or I don't believe we can be 100% sure that God exists. We just accept it by faith. Some people look at it as you get to a chasm, or you get to a void, or a place where you come to the point of all the evidence that you have about things that are spiritual. And what you have to do is take a blind leap into the dark. When you take that blind leap into the dark, that's faith. That's believing as you come into this realm of uncertainty, or you take that blind leap, but you're not sure. Listen to what the Bible says. For the things which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Here it is. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he was able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Paul, what are you saying, brother? He's saying we can know whom we believe. We can have that fullest confidence and assurance in the God in whom we believe. Again, we go back to the example of the great man of faith that we understand is described as the father of the faithful. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, we have the description of this great man, Abraham. And I want you to listen to the kind of faith that Abraham had. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. That is, Abraham believed in God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So here's Father Abraham believing in God's promise, you're going to have a son. And it was not possible, humanly impossible, to have a son at his old age and the older age of Sarah. But the Bible says Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. What kind of faith did Father Abraham have? It was a faith that was fully persuaded. That leaves no room for a little bit of doubt. And Lord, I'm not really 100% sure that you're going to do this. No, the Bible says of Abraham, he was fully persuaded. That's what faith involves, a full persuasion, an assurance. You remember back when Peter preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. Again, Peter, as he stands there, says in Acts 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Can we know assuredly Christ died, was buried and resurrected back to life and ascended up into heaven? Peter says we can know assuredly. So what is faith? Well, it's not always contrasted with sight. You can see and believe. It's not always that which contains, never does, in fact, contain an element of doubt and uncertainty. Now, faith is this. Peter lays it out, rather, the Hebrew writer rather lays it out very plainly. Now, faith is the substance, the confidence of things hoped for. What do you hope for tonight? What is in our hearts about which we hope and long and desire? A lot of things the Bible speaks of that we hope that are going to happen. And again, I want to say that this word hope is not like you ask someone, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? And the response sometimes come back, well, I hope so. Well, that's not the hope that the Bible defines as a confident expectation. If I ask you tonight, are you going to heaven? You can say, I hope so. What do you mean by that? I mean that I have the confident expectation that I will go to heaven. That's the hope that resides in the heart of the child of God, the hope of eternal life. Peter writes about that hope that is sure and steadfast, that hope that is within our hearts of the life that is to come. How many hopes do we have? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, there is one hope. I just finished reading a book entitled Bring Heaven On. I don't know that I can answer all the questions about what heaven is going to be like. There are those that believe that heaven is going to be here on this earth. There are those, even among us in the Lord's church, who are embracing the idea that heaven is going to be a renewed earth. It's going to be like the paradise that was lost back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. That paradise is going to be restored right here on earth. That's where we're going to be eternally. That is going to be our heaven. I have never been able to wrap my mind around that idea when the Bible says that the earth, the works that are therein, are going to be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3. And the verse where Paul says, our hope is in heaven, from whence we also look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea that Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house. Where is the Father's house? It's where Jesus went. Where did Jesus go? He went back up, 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 all the way into heaven as the clouds carried him away back into heaven. And Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. I've always had the confidence or the conviction that heaven is above. Heaven is where Christ now is, where God the Father is, where the angels are, and where someday all the redeemed shall be. Not upon a renewed earth. Again, I say that there are faithful brethren who are embracing that idea now. Is that the one hope that is in our hearts? Is that the substance, the confidence of the hope that we have of heaven someday, where the Lord is and where He shall someday take us? And by the way, if wherever heaven is, we can stand and we can argue both ways. But I truly believe wherever it is, and I believe it's up there where the Lord now is, if it were to be a renewed earth, it's going to be far more wonderful than we can ever imagine. And I'm not going to argue if somehow or another I am wrong in my conviction about where the hope of heaven is for my heart tonight. I'm not going to argue if some may be right about it being the renewed earth. But I'm not going to teach that because I do not understand that to be the one hope that we have. The hope of heaven, I believe, is heaven above, where Christ now is, preparing a place, and where He shall someday come and take the redeemed into heaven forever and forever. That is the hope, the substance, the conviction that there is for us awaiting the hope of eternal life. The Bible says we're saved by hope. We're saved from our past sins by the hope that we place in the blood of Christ. We're saved as we continue to live the Christian life walking daily with Him and serving Him. We have the hope. We have that confidence. His blood continues to cleanse us from all our sins, to wash and redeem us from all our past sins and our present sins. And as we continue to walk in the light, our future sins are forgiven. That's the hope that I place in the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. That's the substance. That's the confidence of the things we hope for. You know what? We're not going to be disappointed. We're not going to have a God that holds out this hope in our hearts all through life. And we get down to the end, we get down to the close of life, and we go across the chilly waters of death, and there's nothing out there for us. It all was a lie. It all was a promise God could not fulfill. The Hebrew writer says, God cannot lie. Because God cannot lie. Whatever He gives us that we hope in, we can be assured that it's going to be fulfilled. Faith is the substance, the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's almost like when I think of things I've never seen, such as seeing Jesus as the apostles did, or seeing God, my Creator, or seeing life beyond, or looking back and being able to see all of those great people that lived in the Bible days, seeing the things that I read about in the Scripture. I remember how that Brother Paul Hicks and I and several others went to the Bible lands. And as we went to the Bible lands, I'll never forget the experience. Brother Donnie Barnes was your preacher then. And Brother Donnie and I, we took a group of people over to the Bible lands. And I'll never forget, Brother Sammy, the experience of when we began to come down the road and we were going to turn to the right. And on the left was the Sea of Galilee. Now, I had read that in my Bible all of my life as a young man, as a gospel preacher. I have talked about, I have believed in the Sea of Galilee. I'd never seen it. I had never been on that sea, but I believed it was there because I had read about it, had seen pictures. But you know, the time that we got there to the Sea of Galilee and we'd gone to our hotel, and that evening we wanted to just go out by the Sea of Galilee and listen to the water lap upon the seashore. You can't imagine how you feel when you see something for the first time that you have read about in the Bible. It's the evidence of things not seen. The things that we're now able to see with our physical vision, the things that we believe are real and true, though we have never seen them with the physical eye, we know that they're real. We know they're there. We know that the reality of God, Jesus and heaven and hell and things that we cannot see, those things are real. Look at your body. Look at your hands. Your physical body. We can see these physical bodies now. Can you see the resurrected body? Can you know what that resurrected body really is like? Brother John said in 1 John chapter 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and such we are. And it does not yet appear what we shall be." We don't know exactly what these physical bodies are going to be like when they're raised up out of the grave. But it is for certain that the body that is in the grave is going to be resurrected out of that grave. That, my friend, is what resurrection is all about. It's not the resurrection just of the spirit. Some people have the notion, the idea, well, we can't see a spirit. We can't see spirit things. So I believe the evidence of things that I do not see is that someday we're going to be floating around up in heaven in spiritual form with no kind of body at all. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, it is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. It is sown a mortal body. It is raised an immortal body. It is sown a corruptible body. It is raised an incorruptible body. Mark your Bibles in 1 Corinthians 15, that little word, IT. Because the word IT is the word that refers back to what is in the grave. What is in the grave? It will come out. And it is going to be changed. And it is going to have form. It is going to have identity. You'll be able to know who it is that is going to be in heaven. We don't see them now. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. We have the assurance. What evidence, you say, Brother Cochran, do you have that we shall see people over there in heaven and we're going to know who they are? Here's my evidence. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, his body was raised out of that tomb. And when Jesus' body, his body came out of the grave, he stood there when Mary was close by. Mary was weeping. She didn't know at first who that man was standing over there talking to her. And as Jesus spoke the word, Mary, she knew it was Jesus. She recognized him. She saw him in a resurrected, identifiable body. And that's what's going to come out of the grave for all of us. A recognizable body in which we shall live eternally. And the glory of the joy in our hearts tonight is that evidence of things not seen, heaven, God, the resurrection, judgment, heaven, hell, all of those things that we do not see, we have the evidence of their reality. And the evidence, my friend, the assurance of that faith in things that we do not see is contained in your Bible. If you believe the Bible, you believe it to be the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, that is the book of John, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. By believing, you may have life in his name. You and I were not there when that water was turned to wine, but we read about it, and it's the evidence of things that are not seen. We truly believe he turned that water into wine miraculously. You and I were not there when he healed the nobleman's son from a distance, just by the word spoken. But we believe it, though we did not see it. You and I were not there when Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fish and multiplied them and fed 5,000 people. We did not see that, but the evidence is there. Because these things are written that we might believe that all these miracles that Jesus did are truly things that happened. You and I were not there standing with Mary and Martha and all of those Jews when Jesus cried out unto Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. And Jesus pierced into that tomb that day. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And we watch. By the eye of faith, we watch as that body comes wrapped in grave clothing. And that body comes out and stands in the doorway. We know that's Lazarus. He's been raised. No, we weren't there. We didn't see it. But faith is evidence revealed in the Word of God, written for us that we might believe those things that we never saw. But we know them to be true because we believe everything God has revealed in His Word is true. Do you believe in Jesus tonight? Would you be willing to repent of sin, confess Jesus, and say, I have not seen Jesus, not talked with Him, but I believe He's God's Son. I believe He is in heaven today for me, preparing that place. I believe that with all of my heart. Believe He's God's Son. Would you be willing to be baptized tonight so your sins can be forgiven? You have that opportunity as we sing. Let us all, in the prayer of those apostles in the long ago, let us pray, "Lord, increase our faith."